This is the Hackberry House of Chosun, sermonaudio.com. My name is Bob. I want to give to you now the final of seven readings from a book called Memoir of Mary Lothrop. Full title, Who Died in Boston, March 18, 1831, aged 6 years and 3 months. We're in the final chapter of this final reading, chapter 9. Often as the writer entered the house, the last 6 weeks of Mary's life, she has thought, is the spirit of the little sufferer still imprisoned in its diseased casement of clay, or has it winged its way to realms of happiness and light? The door of her room I usually found open, and not unfrequently the window, even when the weather was extremely cold, that she might breathe more freely. And still it did not seem like the chamber of death, for often her mother was singing in a low and soothing voice, and Mary, when she could not speak, would welcome me with the sweetest smile. Day after day I found her much the same, still comforted and sustained by the promises of the Savior, and borne above her sorrows by the bright hope of heaven. More than once have I been reproved when engaging with Mrs. L. in conversation that did not suit the spiritual state of Mary's mind. She would look wearied and would gently say, will you read some hymn about the Savior? It was evident she could not bear worldly conversation and wished to turn the thoughts of all present from earth to heaven. Reading or singing was almost the constant employment of a familiar visitor, and it was owing to this fact that she so often repeated a verse to express what she wished to say to others. She would almost daily ask for the hymn, Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. While the raging billows roll, while the tempest still is high, all my trust on thee is stayed, all my help from thee I bring. Cover my defenseless head with the shadow of thy wing. Other refuge have I none, helpless hangs my soul on thee. Leave, oh, leave me not alone. Still support and comfort me. Hide me, O my Savior, hide, till the storm of life be past. Safe into the haven guide. O, receive my soul at last. Seeing an elder sister do something which was not entirely right, she said, O, sister, when shall I see you all that mother wishes you to be? It will break my heart to die and leave you a sinner. How can you appear happy and know that you do not love God? Who has taken care of you all your life and given you food and clothes and all that you've had? Perhaps you will say it is father and mother, but it is God who has been looking down from heaven and has taken care of you. And what have you done for him? You know that if you should say you love God and do not keep his commandments, you are a liar and the truth is not in you. I do not say it, sister, but the Bible says it. You must tell me that you do not love God. I know it will be hard, but I wish you to tell me so.
Her sister remained silent. Mrs. Lothrop said, My dear, you must answer Mary. She does this for your good. After the reply, Mary continued, Well, that's because you don't keep his commands. Do begin. Then you will love him, and it will be easy for you to obey.
I can die happy if you have a new heart, and you will then be a comfort to our mother."
Her brother, a member of college, now entered the room, and the conversation was interrupted. She had often expressed concern for this brother, and had said to her mother that she wished to talk with him. But as he was so much older than herself, and absent from home a great part of the time, she seemed to feel a diffidence in talking with him as she did with others. Her mother, knowing that her life was uncertain and that she was seldom able to converse, said, "Now, my dear, you have an opportunity of talking with your brother, E." She looked up at him, and in an affectionate tone said, "Dear brother, I want you to become pious and love and serve God all your life, who has been taking care of you so many years, and when you were sick. It was God who raised you from your long sickness, and now I wish you to think of him and serve him. Will you promise me that you will never give up until God lets you know that you're a Christian?" And here she waited for an answer. "If you will, you must begin to pray in earnest, and pray as many times a day as David did. He prayed 7 times a day. And you must read the Bible very often." Her mother then said, "Mary, you know you are near your heavenly home, and your brother is going away very soon. Will you now decide who shall have your little Bible? Do just as you please, my dear." Her brother had at some time expressed the wish that she should give him her Bible when she could use it no longer. She closed her eyes, and after lying a few moments apparently in deep thought, said, "I wish my Bible to be given to that one who will first seek the Lord, and that will read it most and pray the most. I don't care which has it, whether it's the oldest or the youngest." All were silent with surprise when their mother said, "My dear children, you must now decide. I can do nothing about it." A day or two after this, she said to her sisters, "I have but a little while to be here. Now, do let me know that you will seek the Lord. Is not one of you coming for my Bible? And I do not wish you to think that but one can have it. There are more Bibles than one like mine. Dear mother, will you promise that when I am gone to heaven, if they will be in earnest to become Christians and will tell you so, that you will buy them Bibles like mine? And I wish their names and mine to be written in them." A few days before her death, after she had been lying silent for some time, she roused as if from sleep and said, "Mother, I've been thinking about Brother E, and now that he's gone away, I wish you would write to him and tell him that I shall not see him again. But he must not live a sinner. He must read the Bible and pray every day. And I wish he would send me word if he's going to set out in earnest to do it. Then I shall die happy. Tell him God will let me know when I get to heaven if he becomes a Christian. Mother, I wish you would take my Bible and send it to Providence to Brother, and put an old one with it, and tell him that after he has read the old Bible through, he may call my Bible his Bible." And then within the last week of her life, she said, "These sufferings are very great, but I think they are my last. It makes me feel some unpleasant, dear mother, to leave you, but I want you to get ready to come to heaven soon. Do you remember the Sabbath day when my settee was by the window, what you promised me you would do?"
"Yes, yes, my dear Mary, I remember."
"Will you do it?" said Mary. "Will you try to make this neighborhood holy, that they all may become pious?"
One evening, after much sympathy had been expressed for her, she said, "I don't like to have people call me a suffering lamb and say, 'Oh, how much you suffer.' I'd rather they would call me a sinner. I don't mean that I wish them to call me so, but I would rather they talk about my being a sinner and tell me of the sufferings of the Savior. That makes me forget how much I suffer." At one time, after a day of stupor, she said, "What time is it, dear mother? Have you dined?"
"Oh, yes," said her mother, "some time since. It's almost night." "Oh, will you raise the curtains? There have been no good Christians here today. It's not been a happy day to me."
And then as her mother raised the curtains to admit the light, she said, "But in heaven, it will always be sacred, high, eternal noon." She referred to her favorite Sabbath hymn, beginning with the line, "Thine earthly Sabbaths, Lord, we love," which contains those words. On Sabbath day, March 13th, the last Sabbath Mary spent on earth, she was very ill, and it seemed that she could live but a short time. In the afternoon, after many hours of severe suffering, she revived, and it was noticed that she looked towards the window very intently. Her countenance beamed with animation, and at length she said, "Mother, Mother, something has come into my mind that makes me very happy. When I was looking out of the window, I felt as if I wanted to rush through and go up to heaven as quick as you would rush from a hot fire to a cool room." In the evening of the same day, she had a violent spasm. And as she recovered from it, she said, "Oh, that this might be the last." Her mother said, "My dear Mary, this is perhaps to purify you and prepare you for heaven." It was with great difficulty Mary could speak, but she was understood to say,
I think I am prepared."
Her mother said, "Do you feel happy?"
"Yes, very happy."
She was at the time in great distress, apparently dying. Mrs. A. stood by, fanning her constantly, and seeing that her eyes were strangely altered, said, "Can you see, dear Mary?"
"No. No," she said, and then she said, "Oh, I am going."
She, however, recovered from this spasm, and as soon as she could speak, she asked that a lady who had been present might pray with her. Being told that the lady had gone home, Mary said, "Well, someone must pray. Oh, do pray for me." Her sufferings were very great, and it seemed impossible that she could survive the night. She several times repeated, "I am going. I am near heaven. I shall soon be there." One time she said, "Dear mother, these are some of my worst spasms. I hope they are the last." "Don't be disappointed, my dear, if it is not so. God may yet spare you to suffer a great deal more. Do you think you should be willing?" The little sufferer replied,
"Yes, mother, if it is to make me more holy, and all that see me more holy, I shall be willing."
She then desired again that
that someone would pray. So her mother prayed with her, and it seemed to soothe and comfort her. Mrs. L. then sang one of Mary's favorite hymns. I cannot bear thine absence, Lord. My life expires if thou depart. Be thou, my heart, still near my God, and thou, my God, be near my heart. I was not born for earth and sin, nor can I live on things so vile. Yet I will stay my Father's time, and hope and wait for heaven a while. Then, dearest Lord, in thine embrace, let me resign my fleeting breath, and with a smile upon my face, pass the important hour of death. The few remaining days of Mary's life were spent much as the previous had been, though perhaps her sufferings were increased by greater difficulty in breathing. Reading, singing, and prayer were cheering to her whenever she was able to listen. An account of the last evening and night of her life is given in the words of a beloved friend of the family who was present when Mary ceased to breathe. Here are her words. During the protracted sickness of the little sufferer, who is the subject of this memoir, I had the privilege of spending much time in her chamber and hearing from her own lips some of her heavenly expressions. But owing to the pressing cares of my own family, I neglected to note down her interesting remarks, although I fully intend to do so when with her. The dying scene, however, is very vividly impressed upon my mind. When I entered the chamber, which to me had become a most interesting spot, about 3 o'clock on Thursday afternoon, she appeared in dying agony, and we soon thought that her sufferings had ceased. We knelt by her and tried to commend her departing spirit to God, but she revived and her distress continued great until about 8 o'clock, when it was much increased. It was truly heartrending to witness it and to hear her with childlike simplicity utter such expressions as these. Oh, that I could have one breath. Oh, and that I could cough. My sweet Mary, said her mother, this is the way that good Dr. Payson went to heaven. Oh, yes, dear mother, I will try to be patient. Rock a little faster. Give me more air. It will soon be over. It will soon be over. About 10 o'clock, she said with the most impressive earnestness, Mrs. H., come. Come, kneel down by me. Pray to God. Pray earnest. Speak loud. After I began, she repeated, Ernest, Ernest, oh God, do relieve me. As I proceeded, I perceived that she grew easier, and I continued much longer than I otherwise should have done. When I closed, she said with an emphasis I shall never forget, You have been a great comfort to me, dear Mrs. H. You have been a great comfort to me. God has heard your prayer and relieved me a little. She soon after desired her mother to wipe the phlegm from her mouth, which had almost stopped her breath, and which she had been entirely unable to raise before. She immediately said, evidently with a desire that they might pray with her, I wish Mrs. O.B. was here. Do send for Mrs. A. Mr. and Mrs. A. were sent for, and soon they came in. Mr. A. prayed with her, and she then desired them to sing, Jesus, Lover of My Soul, and so on. But it soon appeared that as the number in the room became greater, her distress for breath increased, and she said with that admirable sincerity I have witnessed in older persons near to death, after replying to her mother that it had been a comfort to her, she said, But now you may go. You may go now. She appeared rather easier and slept until 1:30, Then, her distress increasing, she seemed soothed and comforted, as she had always been during her sickness, by reading her favorite portions of Scripture and singing hymns. She mentioned particular hymns and requested to hear about the sufferings of the Savior, and once or twice said, "Sing of heaven." At 4 o'clock, she again requested that I would pray with her. And when I had closed, she said, "Pray again. Pray all the time." Not long after this, she said, "Mother, come to me. Come now. Sit close to me. Call Father. Call him quick." From her earnest and affectionate manner, it was evident she thought the hour of separation was near. Her distress was too great for her to converse, but as we sat silently watching her, we could hear her faintly whisper, "Dear Ma, sweet Ma, sweet Ma," till the sound died away upon her lips. She continued to breathe until after 8 o'clock on Friday morning, March 18th, when her happy spirit took its upward flight to that Savior she had so much loved and honored, and I could respond to the words of a minister, the Reverend Dr. C., who soon after entered the room, "Happy Mother, happy Mother, I cannot weep, I rejoice with you." The funeral of little Mary was attended on the following Sabbath by her pastor, the Reverend Mr. Malcolm, and her earthly remains now rest in the burying ground at the north end of the city, in sure and certain hope of a glorious resurrection. Her age was 6 years and a little more than 3 months, and her life is an affecting illustration of the passage, "Out of the mouth of babes, thou hast perfected praise." God bless you for being with me today. I trust this has truly warmed your heart as it has mine. Check in here at Hackberry House of Chosen website. See what's going on, and I hope that you'll be blessed each time you come. God bless you today. Bye-bye.